A law firm in Australia sues Russia and Vladimir Putin over the downing of Flight MH17. And a television station in France takes on Russia's top propagandist, Dmitry Kislyov. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So Russia was able to block a UN investigation into the MH17 disaster, but they probably won't be able to do anything about this. The Australian law firm LHD has filed suit in the European Court of Human Rights seeking $10 million Australian dollars in damages, that's $7.2 million U.S. dollars, for each of the victims of the MH17 disaster. That could top out at $3 billion, approximately. The lead lawyer, Jerry Skinner, was instrumental in winning compensation from Libya for the relatives of the victim of the Lockerbie disaster. Pavel, how's this playing in Russia? I saw that the Duma deputy, Franz Klintsevich, said that the suit is legally null and void and was part of an ongoing psychological war against Russia. How else is this playing in Russia?
Is this playing in Russia? Well, it's not playing in Russia very much because no one in Russia believes in any lawsuits against President Putin. But Jerry Skinner, special counsel with LHD, says that his firm has submitted 2,000 pages of documentary evidence that shows that Russian military equipment was present in the area that was photographed and geolocated to the area where the missiles were fired from. You know that a Dutch safety board concluded mm-hmm. last year that the airplane was brought down by a Russian-made surface-to-air missile, a missile called Buk. But the Dutch report stopped short of saying who fired it. Now, this lawsuit is different. You know that Ukraine and some Western experts have blamed Russian-backed separatists.
The Bellingcat report was the most
damning. The Bellingcat report. And again, this claim has been rejected by Russia, which blamed Ukrainian forces.
Without any evidence, of course.
Now, in this lawsuit, Special Counsel Jerry Skinner appears to be saying that without President Putin's permission, a Buk missile would never have crossed the border into Ukraine. So there has been little reaction so far in Russia to this lawsuit. It's important to note that in December 2015, the Russian parliament adopted a law allowing to overrule judgments from the European Court of Human Rights. Under Russian legislation now, the Russian constitution takes precedence. So essentially, the Russian Constitutional Court has the right to declare international court orders unenforceable in Russia.
But if the European Court agrees to hear this case, and if the relatives of the victims are victorious, you're going to have a situation again where Russian property could be seized abroad, similar to what we had with the Yukos case.
There are a lot of ifs here, yes, but
regardless of what the Russian Constitutional Court says,
but that's one of the possible outcomes for certain.
So this is something we'll be sure to keep an eye on in the coming days. On another topic, a French television station has exposed how Russia's bombastic television anchor, Dmitry Kislyov, manipulates the news. Pavel, I understand the video has been translated into Russian from French and is making waves in Russian social media, no?
Radio France International has published this first show on YouTube with Russian subtitles, and it seems to be gaining popularity now on social networks. And the show is called Le Petit Journal. It's on the French channel Canal Plus. It's kind of like the Daily Show
in France.
It's a satire show. Host Jan Barthez broke down a video report that appeared on Dmitry Kislyov's May 15th Sunday show. The show was dedicated to French Eurosceptics, and French reporters met with some of the characters that appeared in the report and found out that their words were either mistranslated or taken out of context. One woman, for instance, was quoted on Russian TV as saying that she was afraid of migrants, but in fact she said her perception of safety in France had nothing to do with immigrants. I think the report also mentioned a lycée in Paris that was shut down so the building could now accommodate migrants. But in fact, the lycée was closed in 2011. And there are a few other things. And
they were showing people on tablets, on iPads, basically, their interviews with themselves, and they had a chance to respond to it, as I understand.
It's worth noting that Kislyov's show is known for the editorial liberties, let's say, it's taken in covering the news. You know, they have aired fake screenshots of so-called Skype exchanges between Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny Navalny and Bill Browder. They have used a fake Nazi ID card in a report comparing Ukrainian pro-European activists to a Nazi SS division made up of Ukrainians during World War II.
So, yeah, no, and this, of course, is nothing new. Just last week or the week before, there was on Twitter, there was what Russia ostensibly said was a photo of a bombing raid turned out to be from a video game. People seem to be getting wise to this, and the French satirists have done us all a big favor. So what else do you got cooking on Current Time this week? I understand you got some interesting stories.
Well, we don't have much time left, but I'll just tease one story. Make sure you watch this report about a school teacher in the Russian Chelyabinsk region who is now accused by parents of mistreating their children and give them hard homework, including poems about the ruling United Russia Party. Some of the teachers' teaching methods were so bizarre that the parents filed a complaint with the prosecutor's office and are now expecting a decision from the authorities.
Uh-huh. So you'll have that story this week as well. All right. Well, you can watch that and other news from Russia and the former Soviet Union on www.currenttime.tv. And that's all we have time for today, so we'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program Current Time, which you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.